Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And on this podcast, we just get to know what it's like to be a woman. We interview women doing big and bold things in their lives, in addition to being great moms. And we show you that you are actually doing way more than you think you are. Of course, you're running after kids and you're taking them to 400 different activities, but you're also showing your friends and your family what it's like to live life boldly, beautifully, and with a lot of compassion. So on Mondays, you get to hear from an inspiring woman that we interview, but on Wednesdays, we do what we call our Mama Bear Mini, and we explore a subject that has either been brought to our attention from a Mama Bear listener or something that Leslie and I just think our audience would love to hear about. So on today's midweek Mama Bear Mini, we are just going for it. And Leslie is so excited about this. Are you so excited, Leslie?
Oh, I'm something about this.
So on our episode number 24 called Relationship Advice from Old Wives, some of the feedback we received was, so why didn't you mention sex? And you know what? It's because we've been wanting to do an entire mini on that very subject. So that's what we'll do today. We've asked Gervaise Kolmos back on the podcast to help us with this topic that we are honestly a little nervous about. I'm not so nervous about it, but I can kind of feel Leslie's nervous energy. And it's only nerve-wracking because we don't talk about it very much, right? As women, we just kind of assume a position of don't talk, don't tell, continue on with their lives. But we're going to rip off the Band-Aid, and we want to hear from you too about all things sex in our comment section. So please don't just leave us out here on the branch on our own.
That's right, Tessie. Let's talk about sex. I mean, we're going to go for it. So let's do it. I'm so glad we have Gervaise with us, though, today. I think that she's going to add so much to the conversation. And it's not that I don't want to talk about sex or like talk about sex with you or Gervaise or a few close friends. It's that we're talking about sex on a podcast. And so that's where I'm coming from. I'm just like, oh my gosh, is this happening? But it is. And I think it's going to be great.
It is going to be great. And I can totally understand that. It's a little overwhelming to imagine hundreds of ears listening to this conversation. But so Gervaise was featured on episode number 27. So if you want more information on her background, make sure you go listen to that podcast episode after this episode. But to recap, she is a life coach who specializes in working with new moms. One of the things she constantly addresses is marriage after kids, which is why we thought she would be the perfect third co-host of this mini. So Gervaise, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited.
Yay! I guess as Tessie said in the intro, one of the pieces of feedback that we received after our relationship advice from old wives, because we're such old wives, is just that we didn't mention sex as one of the factors in keeping a healthy relationship. And I know you and I and Gervaise, we all agree that it's definitely a major component and it's a big deal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do think we should first qualify this whole Mama Bear Mini by saying that there are so many factors that go into talking about sex in a relationship and that go into that experience of sex in a relationship. So this episode isn't meant to be comprehensive, but we do hope that we can start a conversation. Gervaise, you mentioned in the previous episode that the relationship after kids is actually something that you feel really strongly about and that you counsel other women on. So tell us what you're hearing.
Yeah, it's a huge pain point for moms, I think. And what I hear the most is, we're not having any. Start there. But I think it's honestly attached to the deep-rooted issue, which is I feel too busy. I don't have enough time. I've lost my sex drive. And also, you know, my husband, he wants it all the time. And I just don't, I'm too tired because he doesn't get it because I'm with the kids all day. And, you know, it's like you and your partner on different wavelengths sexually because of what you're doing all day long, even just like mm-hmm. what is going through your mind. And so they can't anchor back into like their pre-baby, you know, temptress because there's just too much clutter in their brain at that time and they can't shut it off.
That's really interesting. And it doesn't surprise me because I feel like I've felt those things too. Another thing that I hear a lot of, you know, friends or whomever talk about is just how just the really physical nature of new motherhood. And like everyone wants a piece of your body, right? Like it's, you know, you might be nursing or, you know, you might have a 4-year-old who just wants to be held all the time, or mothering is so physical. So I understand that kind of exhaustion at the end of the day from giving your body to others. And then just sort of like that tiredness, that sort of not just a physical or mental tiredness, but just the sort of fatigue you feel when you are constantly sharing your body with other people.
Yeah. That is such a good point because I actually remember that for myself. Like when my daughter was really young, like around 6 months, and I was breastfeeding all the time, and mm-hmm. I was just like, these don't feel sexy. Like, don't mm-hmm. come near me. You know, I had so much trouble getting to the point where breastfeeding was comfortable. They were so not a part of my body I felt sexy about anymore. Mm-hmm. And not that I've had like, not that I was feeling self-conscious about them. They were just milk machines.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just couldn't flip a switch and just turn back into, oh yeah, these are part of my body. You know, this is part mm-hmm. of what makes me a woman. And I, you know, it just, it's such a good point what you just said, Leslie.
I remember also that there was no way I could say to Zach to make him understand just how touched out I was. You know, I mean, he is a very nurturing man and he's really good at just listening to me, but I had no way to express there are 5 tiny hands touching some part of my body all day. And so when you come at me with your set of hands, you know, there's no way because he's off at work. He was off at work when the kids were little and I was staying at home and there's just no way communicate that unless you've been through it yourself, right? And so that's the other part. Even when you're communicating, it's really hard to understand that unless you yourself have been there. And yeah. In a lot of homes, especially if it's a stay-at-home mom, even when dad's there, they still come to mom, you know? So like they mm-hmm. can't even really understand that either. And it doesn't make them a bad dad because he's a phenomenal dad. It just, that was the nature of our relationship, I remember. And I remember that was why sex was really, really hard to get excited about. I mean, we still did it, but to get just really excited and really passionate, I don't remember it happening when they were little, quite honestly.
Yeah. And that's the whole, like, you're just on such different wavelengths at that time. Like when you have little kids, I think especially, you know, like the man comes home and he's like, all right, like I want my woman, you know, but like, you're like, excuse me, I've had tiny hands all over me all day. And my mind is just spinning, thinking about all the things I need to do. And it's just, it's hard for them to put themselves in your shoes. But also what I have done with several clients is like getting them to put themselves in his shoes, right? Because it's always like, well, he can't even understand how touched out I am, which I love how you phrase that. So good.
I know, touched out. I love it.
Out right now. But also, it doesn't really solve the problem, right? So like a lot of the women that I work with, they're like, yeah, this is how I feel. And it's like, well, what do you want to happen though? And they're like, well, I want that deep connection with my husband again. Like I want to make him happy and I also want it too. And so then we have to kind of dig in there and figure out a way that to get them back into their bodies and out of their heads, regardless of the fact that their day was like nothing like his day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point, Gervais. Just what we crave, I think, is that deep connection, just that vulnerable time of becoming a mom, or even, you know, just being a mom of young children. So what can we do, you know, to kind of either foster that deep connection through sex or connect with our husbands in other ways? I mean, how does that work? What advice do you give to people?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation. I mean, I think, like what you said, the deep connection is, most women need that, right? Like that's just how we're wired. And so it starts with, like, when's the last time you felt deeply connected to your partner? You know, what are you doing when you feel deeply connected? And they're like, well, you know, and you go through your routine. What do you do during the day that makes you feel connected? And then you realize, oh, actually, I've gone through many days in a row with zero connections to my husband, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going through the motions. So it's being really intentional about putting those little pockets of, whether you're like sending him a text message or like calling him or spending time together after the kids are asleep, where you're not just like zoning out in front of the TV, like something that helps shut your brain off, but also get you out of your routine so that you can connect. And that's the first thing I think that all women need to do, because I mean, that's how I work personally, like with my husband. We'll just be going through our routine, you know, like we work so well, like clockwork, like we've been doing it so well. It's like a conveyor belt of tasks and activities. And then we finally crawl into bed. It's like 10 o'clock at night and lay there and start talking. And it's like, whoa, I don't feel connected to you. Oh, I don't feel connected to you either. And just even saying those words, like saying them out loud, we'll both be like, oh, okay. Well, I was feeling this way, but you feel the same way. So clearly, you know, what can we do? And then we just end up usually talking in bed, exhausted. I'm like, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Take your head off the pillow, because if you have it on the pillow while you're talking, you might fall asleep. Right. But that is honestly when we have the most, the deepest conversations, where it's like, here's how I'm really feeling about whatever it is. And, you know, here's what I'm missing from you. And we actually just had this conversation last night, so it's feeling really fresh. Mm-hmm. But for us personally, and I think for a lot of couples like this, like the sex is really not going to happen until you do that, right? Like it's just not, it's not going to happen. You can't just, unless you really fake it all the way, like, right. Right. Which is fine. You know, you can do that too. But I mean, if you're wanting it to be mutually gratifying and fulfilling intimacy, then you gotta make some space for that deep connection.
I know. And I feel like so often that's the hardest part, but is just telling our husband what we need. Mm-hmm. So maybe today, if you have little ones, listeners, and you're feeling touched out, maybe it's a matter of sending a text to your husband and saying, I don't have the energy to find a babysitter for tonight or for tomorrow night. But if you could do that and we could go on a date and then we can reconnect, I would really love to have sex with you. You know, perfect. Something like that, where you're both like, and there's an anticipation. So there's kind of like that really excitement over it. But also mm-hmm. then you're not expending any more energy when your tank is empty. Mm-hmm. And your husband knows exactly what you want. I mean, I think that's a lot of times, I remember we would end up fighting and then Zach would say, well, I didn't know what you needed from me. And it was so true. I was just expecting him to like mm-hmm. up and read my, you know, my thoughts. But the reality mm-hmm. is they don't. So when mm-hmm. you say it specifically like that, and don't say it in a snarky way, like you should know this, but I need this. Just say it straight out. This is what I need from you. Could you do that? Could you make that happen? That's yeah. one really visceral way of connecting anyway. And then again, like, it's fun to imagine what's going to happen in the next day or two.
Yeah. I think your text is like perfect. You should write that down. That's like a perfect text message. Like, I'm way too tired. Can you handle this problem? Because I would really like to have sex with you.
Yeah. If you don't handle this problem, sex probably ain't going to happen. That's
yeah. the, you're like, that. You're really like painting the picture and showing them the path get there, you know.
that is great. And I think there's so much, especially for us, with that communication piece. I know that I've said something similar to Jake, and maybe not like such a direct and sexy way, but you know, I've been very open throughout, whether we've had little kids or now that our kids are a little older, but in telling him, like, you know, my ideas of sexy have changed. And what I find sexy now is you doing the laundry, like straight up, you know, that is a love language that will, that really turns me on. And then it could be, and that's sort of, it's very, very honest, and it's the truth. Like, if you can save me from another load of laundry, then like, yeah, I'm going to have more energy. And I also will just really like I will at an emotional level feel connected to you, and therefore more you, I will find you more desirable, or, you know, not to like trade out laundry for sex, but just to kind of be creative in how we end up there at the end of the day.
And such a good point about the love languages, because I think like for some women, I think a lot of women, actually, this has come up lately, like acts of service is their love language. Like, if you want to get me in the mood, you have to help me with the dishes, because that otherwise I'm just in my head and I'm just, you know, overwhelmed and boiling over. So it is really, you know, more impactful than they think to do a little task. So like to tell them, you know, this, you're basically saying without using the cheesy words, hey, this is my love language. You're literally saying like, this is what turns me on. I know it sounds really stupid, but can you do the laundry?
Yeah.
It will create space in my brain.
Well, and I also think being honest with, especially after you have kids, the things that physically turned me on before kids changed dramatically after a child had passed through my vagina. So I think it's super important to tell them that, you know, to talk to them and to just every once in a while update them on what is currently getting you excited physically, you know, because it changes not just after kids, but in your 30s, and from what I hear from my friends, in your 40s and your 50s. And so to keep your partner abreast, if you will, of the situation, you know, that also, one, it helps with the communication aspect. You're being direct and you're helping them navigate your body that you know better than anybody else. But also, again, it ensures that sex is pleasurable for you. And although you're going to for sure have sex sometimes, and it's going to be more of like, I just want to connect with you, whether I have an orgasm or not. It certainly helps when they know what is turning you on, right? So I think that's a really important piece too. And you cannot expect them to guess because they're, you know, they don't know. Even if you're in a female-female partnership, hello, we're all made differently. So it's really important to be just open with them about that.
Yeah, it's really like just getting as much of the stuff that's in your head that's like distracting you or making you feel self-conscious or making you feel resentful out of your head and like verbalize it, whether it's like, this is how I'm feeling about my body right now, or this is what's feeling good to me right now, or this is what would turn me on right now. Like, there's so many different ways, but I think it all comes back to women. We tend to live in our heads, right? And there's all of this stuff going on in there that we expect men to know. Or just figure out. And really, it kind of blocks us from like deep intimacy. Even when we're having sex, sometimes we're in our heads, right? So it's really just constant, like, how can I get this, all of these thoughts that are, you know, blocking my sex drive, or give all these excuses for why I can't or shouldn't or don't want to have sex, how can I eliminate them? And so often it's just like, verbalize them to your man, whatever they are, and then they're done, you know, they're no longer in your way.
Yeah. And I think once you start doing that, you know, even if you like, if you blush, like I do when you have these conversations, you know, once you say them out loud and kind of practice that dialogue, the easier and more comfortable it will be. And you won't think twice about it. I mean, Jake and I are very open with most of these things, and no hesitation in talking to him about what I need, what I want, what I desire, and vice versa. What he can then feel comfortable talking to me. So the dialogue just becomes much easier, even if it seems uncomfortable at first.
Yeah, exactly. And I also noticed as my kids have gotten older, and I can say kids go outside, that also opens up the opportunities, right? Where you're, and they don't touch me. Like there's very few times now where they're wanting to cuddle and snuggle and do that throughout the day. And that also helps. So mamas, if you are in the thick of toddlerhood, just understand that there will be a window that you won't feel that way as physically exhausted as you are right now. So there's hope for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And probably I think dads feel that too. During that really intense hands-on period of parenthood. And so you do kind of define what your sex life can look like and what sexy is during that time. And then it's pretty great to like revisit those things as your kids grow up and your relationship matures. I think, good things, I hope that I'm still having really great sex when I'm 70. I hope that things just keep progressing and, my partner and I continue to feel not only just intimate on a relational level, but also on a physical level.
You totally will. Just my perspective.
I hope so.
Oh my God. I'm excited for you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Jake and Leslie at 70. It's going to be, Anyway.
Oh, poor Mary Barnum's clutching her pearls right now.
I know, it's true.
We should say that Gervais has a little one and she's also very, very pregnant. So we do come from different perspectives, which is, one of the reasons that Leslie and I were talking about having you on, because I think in some ways that we remember what it's like on an intellectual level, we also don't remember what it's like on a visceral level the way you do, because it's yesterday, right?
So you're watching out, that's probably for the best.
What if we talk about things that have helped us, whether it was when we were younger and before kids, after kids, now that the kids are older, something that's helped us to get in the mood to, have a better sex life with our partners. We've obviously mentioned a few things, sprinkled them in, that have helped in the past. But Leslie, why don't you go first? Because I know you've just been so excited about sharing this.
I was going to say, really? Thank you. I get to go first, huh? Well, I honestly can say that a glass of wine helps.
Hey, that was my answer.
Was it? Yeah, because, I think that just in the evening, like just to kind of help you unwind and to just allow yourself to be more creative and more open to the possibility of being intimate. I, throughout time have always felt like that's a good thing. I also think, and this would be speaking from the perspective of someone with children, either old or young, I think getting away together is really important. And I would also go so far as to say a weekend away is fantastic, but I think it takes 3 or 4 days away without children to really remember who you are as a couple. I remember, we've taken a few of these trips and it's like around day 2.5, day 3, where you just hold hands with your partner and you sort of slip back into that, pre-children relationship. And I think that's huge. I think just kind of remembering what you love about that person, not as a dad or a mom, can be really important. And it's hard to carve that kind of time away. I mean, a weekend is fairly doable, but 3 or 4 days is a lot of times that's asking a lot of other people and, trying to arrange for childcare and things like that. But I'm really a believer in a longer trip every once in a while, just to remember what it is that you love about your partner as a person.
Yes.
Love that. Well, I would say rum. Just kidding. So I'm not really kidding. But I think just doing something fun together. Like hearing Leslie's answer, I'm like, oh, I want that so badly. Like I so want to go for, you know, like 5 days somewhere with my husband. And we just haven't been able to make it work since my daughter was born 3 years ago, based solely on childcare. Mm-hmm. And our situation, you know, and it's not because we don't value it or because we wouldn't want to, it just hasn't happened. And I'm just so excited for the day when we figure it out. I'm never going to stop trying.
It's been good.
I think just doing something fun, like every couple has a different dynamic, you know, you have the things that drew you to each other in the first place. And for me and my husband, it was like dancing, right? Like we would like go out dancing and drink too much and just like have so much fun. And it was mm-hmm. just, we were so compatible in that way. That was like our thing. And so every now and then, I don't know, we'll like go to, you know, a close friend's wedding and just throw down and have so much fun and be on the dance floor for hours. And, you know, it's not a long vacation or anything, but it very quickly reminds us like, oh yeah, this is us. Like, this is what we do. This is like the thing that makes us love each other, that made us love each other to start with. And that always, you know, I think as every time we do something fun together, then we instantly get that deep connection back. And so then that obviously helps with the sex.
Gervais, I love that. And actually, as you're thinking, or as you were talking, I was thinking, go to weddings. Like, I think weddings yeah. have this incredible way of reminding you about new, fresh love in general. And then now this makes so much sense as to why, like, my group of friends, if we, or relatives too, like if we go to a wedding these days, it's like mom's on the dance floor, like yeah. moms and dads on the dance floor. And this makes sense. I think at some sort of like innate sort of level, like we are trying to do exactly what you're saying. Like I dance like crazy at weddings now
sure
with
do.
My husband. Yeah. I just throw down. I think you're absolutely right. Like just that burst of this is the old us and we've still got it, whether we do or not.
We still got it. I was gonna say, you're not trying. You're succeeding. You're doing it.
Yes.
Down.
They are doing it. I'm going to tell you right now that usually both their heads are down. They have no idea if there are 400 other people at the wedding or it's just those two. They're not actually sure if the wedding stopped 3 hours ago. They are just fully committed to what's going on with their feet and speaking specifically for Leslie with her finger guns.
Yes. It may not look pretty, but our mating song is something special.
Oh my gosh.
What about you, Tessie?
Well, I think, you know, two things. I want to say that there was a time when Zach and I actually scheduled our sex, and it sounds so weird. And I mean, one of you guys are probably saying, Zach must be an accountant, right? No, Zach is not an accountant. That sounds like something an accountant would do. But we did it because then, again, same thing. You could look forward to it. We knew it was going to happen. And there were times we both got to it and we looked at each other and both of us were like, not today, you know? But for the most part, it just helped us to know that it was happening. And then actually, Zach said it freed him up to not question every day whether it was going to happen tonight, you know?
Yes.
He said he used to, like, expend so much brain energy. Like, I wonder if it's going to happen tonight. But when we were scheduling it, I know. But, you know, it's good. I didn't know that until he had said it. So it was a really great glimpse. So maybe you listeners are at a position where you need to schedule sex. And I can promise you it's still sexy.
Like, did you have a special font that or color that this went into your, I'm assuming, like, shared Google Calendar or something?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Was there a code word, perhaps?
I like to refer to sex as the horizontal tango. So that's often what it said.
Excellent. I knew there was going to be something. I think that's fantastic.
Yes. So if you guys ever get a hold of an old phone of mine and you see that, that's, you know what happened. But now, you know, now I just want to encourage you guys also, we used to only have sex at night, and it often happened because of work schedules and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now we realize that limiting it to night made sure that, especially if we're on the go with our kids all the time and we don't even get home until 9:30, both of us are wiped. And so it turns out that it also helps to do it at other times of the day. It turns out you actually can have sex in the morning or in the afternoon if the kids are at school or something like that. So also don't limit that. Maybe your schedules are open enough where you can do that before the kids wake up, or, you know, if your husband,
for lunch.
Or, exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you guys are close to your home, for lunch, meet for lunch.
Oh my gosh. You guys, yeah. I have to interrupt. I literally just got a text from Jake that says lunch date Literally. It just came. And it's not like our code word or anything, but I feel like this is an opportunity. I might have to sign off early. He never sends anything like that. This is big.
That is the best surprise so funny.
Continue. I'm sorry. I just had to share that because it literally, my phone just buzzed.
I love that. That's so amazing. And I'm just going to encourage that to happen. I would recommend that. Schedule it or just, you know, plan for a nooner. Afternoon delight.
Oh boy. Oh gosh.
I think it's also like what you said. I think when you say like schedule it, it feels so official. But even just like when you said how your husband wasted so much brain power on it, mm-hmm. like I totally get that, because the worst thing that could happen is the nights that I'm like, oh, we're totally gonna have sex tonight. And then I get into bed and he's like rolled over with his eyes closed. And I'm like, excuse me, we were obviously. We had a date, but I didn't tell you because, like, you know what I mean? So, like, just saying, like, hey, you want to do this thing? Like, are we on the same page? Because don't go to sleep because one of us is, like, just to be on the same page and know that, like, stay awake, get excited, this is happening is so smart, because otherwise either one of you is, like, stressing about, like, is it going to happen, which I'm positive my husband could relate to that, because he's like, well, I thought I wasn't sure if you were in the mood today. I just didn't know. Like, I didn't want to, like, you know, jump your bones, but I, you know, and I'm like, why not? You know, it's like you have this whole ridiculous conversation if you just start the day with, hey, let's horizontal tango.
Horizontal tango on at 6 p.m. That's right. One of the other things that I think, you know, when Leslie and I were talking about doing this mini, that we were like, most women don't consider, and we've talked about it, but how sex is also related to nurturing their other self. And because we've interviewed now a lot of women and asked this very question, what do you do to nurture your other self? We can attest to the fact that most women do not enough or nothing at all. And so it comes as no surprise then that a lot of them also are tired or don't feel in the mood to give just another piece of themselves to someone else because they feel like there's nothing left to give. So listeners, if it's been a long time since you've done something just for you, like read a good book or gotten a pedicure, then it obviously becomes even harder to want to be physically intimate with your partner because it just, again, it feels like one more thing. So Leslie, I know, especially after we started this podcast, you and I have become real good, just real good at nurturing our other self. So maybe give our listeners a few of your go-to things that nurture your other self and then work to get you more excited to share this piece of yourself with your husband.
Yes, I think this is so true, Tessie. And it's something that since we have started encouraging others to do, I have definitely reflected on whether or not I'm doing it in my own life and have gotten so much better about it. And so I hope that's true. I hope that longtime listeners of the podcast are really thinking about what they're doing to nurture their self, and, you know, really making an effort. So I have been really trying hard to go for jogs because that just makes me feel good. It's a time where, you know, I can just be by myself and lost in thought or music or whatever. So before I really realized how important, you know, just taking the time to jog was to my other self, I used to go kind of grudgingly, or I'd feel kind of guilty about leaving to go for a jog. But now I've really felt like I can just embrace that and we're all better off because of it. Another thing that I've been working at lately to help my other self is trying to cook dinner not in a big rush to get it on the table, but just because I like to cook and, you know, just allowing myself to have that time to kind of linger over meal preparation, you know, planning it, doing the mise en place, you know, actually cooking. I think just kind of slowing that time down and really making the effort to enjoy the process and not just the outcome. And it's actually something that I love, you know, I love it when Jake joins me. I love to experience that with him. Great time for conversation, great time for that connection that then gets me a little, you know, ready for later.
Yeah, revved up.
How about you guys?
Okay, so what I do is, I mean, I'm also super pregnant, so please keep that in mind, but I just walk. I just go out the door, I say peace out, and I walk for as long as I need to. I mean, I had a couple weekends ago, I was, I don't know, feeling all the feels, but not in, like, the best way, and I was like, I've been here before a million times. What do I need to do? And I was like, I haven't done anything for myself and I have to get out of this house and I just want nobody needing anything from me for a while. Because I think between the baby and who is not a baby and the husband and the business, it's just like I need just to unplug. And so I walked very pregnant for like an hour in 90 degree heat. And it's so funny because I would be coming back around the loop to get back to my house. And then I'd check in and it was like, nope, not enough. Keep walking. And I would like walk past my house for another 20 minutes and like go even farther than I had anticipated until I felt like I had literally walked it all out. Mm. And I was drenched in sweat and probably about to go into early labor. And so, yeah, that's just like currently what I've been doing that really, really helps. But it's just me being like, hey, I'm leaving. You're in charge. I might be gone for hours. I don't know. But I will be walking. That's what I'm going to be doing. And just like the act of the silence or listening to something that I want to listen to and not having being really deliberate about like, I'm not working at that time. I'm not calling a friend at that time. I'm not doing anything that's just outside of myself, you know? And plus exercise releases endorphins, which always helps too. So yeah, that's my thing at the moment.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it. Yeah. And again, these change, right? Depending on where you're at in life. For me, Leslie, actually cooking is something as well, but cooking with Zach, I'll say to him like, hey, what night this week can you just cook with me? And we send the kids outside and we turn on our favorite Pandora station and we just have fun chopping and sauteing. And usually again, that's where we find the joy and, you know, we're laughing and dancing together. And it just reminds us again, like who I am personally, because I do love cooking, but then just how much I love the guy. So that helps. And, you know, honestly, when I am feeling overwhelmed by whatever else is going on and that is taking me away from any sort of sexual energy or drive, I like to call a friend and just kind of give my burdens to them and just hope that they can still want to have sex with their husbands or wives.
But, thanks a lot, Tessie. Yeah,
Leslie. But, you know, I mean, I think that's big. So many times we women, I mean, we just kind of try this like whole martyrdom thing. Like we are not martyrs, you guys. So, and we don't ever want to pretend like we've got all of our stuff together. So find a few close friends who are your safe spot and unload with them. That helps me so much. And often it's only, you know, 20 minutes or so. And I just kind of work through it. And then it feels better to just voice it and be done with it.
I think that's great, Tessie. And I do. I hope that all of our mamas have kind of that tribe, Gervais, as you would call it, of women that we can connect with so that we can work through some of the hard stuff with someone else and not always define our relationship with our partner as the one who has to be everything. You know, I almost think that's not fair to that partner to be asked to be everything, because that does complicate your relationship, maybe unnecessarily. And, you know, for as nervous as I was for this conversation, and as much as I was just like, oh, I don't know, Tessie, if we should tackle this one, I really love hearing just from you two that I'm not the only one that's sort of like, huh, there are some things that I could try, or my feelings about sex after kids are not, I'm not alone in these feelings of just like, life gets complicated, you know, and this is a really basic human desire and human thing that we do that everyone else maybe overthinks as much as I think I do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Mama Bears, remember, we will link to all of the ways you can get in touch with Gervais. She is a phenomenal woman who can help you if you feel like even this podcast is not enough. If you feel like you wanted it to be longer, or you want more information, or you just need someone on your side, like, you can do it. You can do it. And here are some ways that I found that work for other people. Gervais is an awesome person to go to for that. So we will, in the show notes, we'll link to all of that. Gervais, thank you so much for coming along with us again.
Of course. Always, always a pleasure, you girls. Love you.
Gervais, we were talking before the podcast started recording that you're doing something really, really exciting. Do you want to tell our Mama Bears about that?
Yeah. So I am opening up my new monthly membership program for moms called Master Your Mom Life. And what it is, it's like three different levels of membership that moms can get access to me and my coaching at a fraction of the cost, along with a bevy of guest experts on a million different topics. The whole goal was, how do I make it easy for moms to say yes to themselves? How do I fit that into their crazy busy lifestyles, but still give them access to resources and mentors and experts and coaching and support kind of when they need it, the same way you do, you know, you've got health insurance. So this is insurance for your mind and your soul and your emotions, right? Cause that's kind of what we deal with in my field. Yeah, I'll put the link below, but it's going to be a really, really awesome program where I'll get to work with so many more moms at once at a fraction of the cost. So I'd love to have some of you guys join us.
That sounds awesome, Gervais. Good luck with that. That's going to be incredible.
Thanks so much.
All right. So Mama Bears, let's leave you with a dare. Today, we dare you to get a little vulnerable. If you've been feeling disconnected from your partner, or if you haven't been in the mood to get physical lately, just talk about it. Sex is a heavy subject, even when you're married or in a committed relationship, but your partner wants to know what you're thinking and how you're feeling. So plan some one-on-one time where you can talk about it. We dare you to take care of you so that sex doesn't feel like another task to be completed, but feels like what it is, just one more expression of your love for your partner. Mama Bears, we dare you to make yourself a priority. Notice how time nurturing your other self can reap benefits in the bedroom as well. Let's stop making sex such a taboo subject and start making it something that you and your partner can both enjoy. The first conversation can be intimidating, but once it's had, it will become second nature. Open up, Mama Bears, get vulnerable, and dare to have a really rewarding sex life.
Yeah, absolutely. So join the conversation. Could you tell how anxious we were about talking about this? Is this something that you and your partner are just really good about doing and about talking about? And this is not a problem for you at all. If you are that unicorn, we definitely want to hear from you. If you are like the rest of us, we also want to hear from you. What helps you guys to get in the mood or to shrug off some of the weight of being a woman in the world so that you enjoy your partner more? Let us know. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also email us, mamabeardares@gmail.com. We haven't mentioned that we have a website. The website has all of the show notes for Gervaise's links. Anything else we discussed here will be in the carefully crafted show notes on our mamabeardarespodcast.com. So check that out. And please, finally, do this as a happy summer gift for Leslie and me. It's kind of like a sweet, sweet hug for us when you guys leave a rate and review on iTunes. It just makes our day. And besides that, it really helps the podcast reach new listeners. And we think what's going on here is really cool. And we think the mama bears that we interview have a message that needs to reach a larger audience. And you help do that when you leave a review or a rate on iTunes. So go do that for us now. And other than that, just have a phenomenal week. Let's get
this
to going.
This call is being recorded.
You know I love all that right. part. Speaking of sexy time, she just really ushered into the podcast.
Yeah, she did. Have a... I was going to say have an orgasmic week, Mama Bears.
Yes! Woo! Relax now.
Yeah. Have you been drinking wine? You didn't tell me that's what we were doing today.
I should have.
She's getting ready for her lunch date.
That's right. Yeah, I gotta go, guys. See you later. No.